Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. I will admit that if the children's church, I guess that's where the kids are heading, correct? For children's church? If there's an air conditioner, I'd be happy to preach to the kids this morning. Let Eric, you could continue here. I'm assuming that part of the heat has to do with Linda gave me an estimate of 30 minutes for my message, which is about half of what I usually do. So I'm assuming that's why the heat is on, or why it's so hot in here, maybe to keep me short. But you know us Baptists. I come from Long Green Baptist Church, and so I bring greetings from Long Green Baptist. I also bring greetings from the Maryland Bible Society, where I'm the director. I'm very grateful to be here. I'm especially grateful to see my friends Garrett and Luis in the back. God put us together a few years back at a convention, and God was already doing something providential. At that time, I did not know that it had a lot to do with Bibles and books in Kenya. But God had his plan, and I'm excited to be here as not only your guest speaker, your guest pastor, but also to be a partner with this church and with GAP in reigniting a passion for God's word. So before we get started, I'll let you know a little bit of the course of where we'll head today. We will spend just a few moments talking about the Maryland Bible Society. We will spend most of our time talking about God's word, and then we will finish with just a few words about being astonished at his word. So let's read God's word together. If you have that, I believe it's in the bulletins. And as a matter of fact, I'll read it directly from the bulletin. I think that way we're all on the same page, figuratively and literally. So join with me as we read Judges 2 in verse 1 to 10. Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. What is this you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare to you. As soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim. And there to the Lord. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountains of Gash. And all the generations also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Just bow with me for just a moment as we ask the Lord to lead us in our time together. Father, we are grateful for your word. Your word is the greatest treasure apart from yourself that we have ever received. And we pray, Father, now that we spend time in your word, that you would open our hearts, that we would see fresh the God, the Creator, our Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, your Spirit would open our hearts, that we would receive your message for us today. May we have a new and fresh sense of the treasure of your word. And may we be a people that are characterized by those who tremble at your word. So we pray, Father, that in all of this that we do this morning, in our worship, our reading, and even in the message, Father, that you would be glorified and you would be honored. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. One last word of thanks. Boy, I am relieved that I was allowed to take off my jacket and tie. I am already sweating pretty well, and so I'm sure it would have been much worse with the jacket and tie on. But I am very comfortable for a lot of reasons to be with you. As we had a moment of prayer together with Eric and Aaron and Josephine and Chris in Texas, as we started this service, it was so refreshing to me to hear the words of their prayers those prayers that were centered on Christ and on God himself, those prayers that emphasize that our time together this morning is really about focusing our attention on God. The Maryland Bible Society has existed for 204 years. We have been around for the sole purpose to make God's Word available to anybody that needed God's Word, and that could be in a language that they needed to be able to read it. It could be at a level that they could understand it. It would be at a cost that they could afford it. And over the past 204 years, we have given out well over 200 million pieces of Scripture. Now, that is not a tribute to the people as much as it is a tribute to the power of God's Word and a love for it. But 204 years later, after starting the Maryland Bible Society in 1810, there's a different vision. We still want God's Word to be available. We still want people to own God's Word. But we no longer have an issue of accessibility to Scripture. We have God's Word. If you're not one of the 96 homes in America, at least, that has one copy of God's Word by access of the internet and electronic devices, we have God's Word when we want to read it. Now, I would argue that our problem is not accessibility to Scripture, but our issue is readability, meaning are we spending time in God's Word? Are we reading it on a regular basis? Are we teaching it to our children? Do we live God's Word out in our everyday lives? As a matter of fact, the slogan for the Maryland Bible Society's new mission is igniting fresh passion for God's Word lived out. Igniting fresh passion for God's Word lived out. And so the GAP ministry and this relationship we have with Garrett and Luis and the team overseas that we will be working with in Mombasa, you know, you see this sense of which they have a desire for God's Word. And when we can get them Bibles and we can help the GAP ministry supply Bibles through a bookstore and they can have materials to help them study God's Word, for Maryland Bible Society, there's a sense in which, Garrett, taking these used Bibles and books over to Kenya is not distribution, it's redistribution. God has given us a wealth of Scripture here in this country, and now we have an opportunity to take His Word to a place where it will be treasured and read and read again. And so we're so excited for that partnership. And it gives you a little example of what Maryland Bible Society is all about. We want to be part of what God is doing as He makes His Word known, not as the ends, but as a means to the real end, which is that God's fame would grow. So everything we do at Maryland Bible Society is designed to help us spread the greatness of God through the Word of God. So that's a little bit about Maryland Bible Society. But I'm really here to share with you, and I guess you would assume the fellow from the Maryland Bible Society would want to talk about God's Word. So we're going to spend most of our time in the Scriptures. My brother has joined me. We came down together. It was a great ride down. We made sure we were plenty early enough to make sure we could find parking, and everything worked out well. Linda, thank you for that. But as we come down here today, at the center of what I want to share is our love and your love for God's Word that ends in being astonished at His Word. So my brother's heard this a few times and has heard me say it, that when we go around the Maryland Bible Society, we seek to be missionaries. And you would say, well, how in the world is the Bible Society a missionary? Where are you going? Where are you a missionary? What group of people are you missionaries to? It's a little bit different. Because quite frankly, brothers and sisters, I see myself and I see Maryland Bible Society as missionaries to the church. And I know that doesn't make sense when you first hear it. The church typically sends missionaries, and the Bible Society sees itself as missionaries to the church. What we mean by that? We believe that what we just read in Judges 2:10 is very much happening today in America and across the country, across the world, and that is that God's people that had His Word and were raised to understand the principles of Scripture, we believe we're in danger of having another generation that passes without knowing God. See, this is the heart of the Maryland Bible Society vision, that we don't want to be like the folks in Joshua's day. Now, let me just share a little bit about the context of this passage. Judges comes right after Joshua. And we understand our Bibles that God has put history into stages or phases or into time periods. And we had a creation stage, and then we had the fall, and then recreation, and we had the stage that's called the patriarchal stage, and then we had what's called the Exodus, when God took his people out of Egypt and took them to the promised land. But when he finally takes them to the promised land has to be conquered. And so we get to the portion in Scripture with the book of Joshua, which is called the conquest stage. And even though God is going to do the conquering, he's going to use his people, but it's because of him that they will conquer. And so the book of Joshua is a book of victory. It's a book of victory for God. It's a book of God's faithfulness. But as we start the book of Judges, everything changes. The book of Judges is a book of failures. It's not a book of victory. It's a book of sin and rebellion and unfaithfulness to the Lord. It's a book that talks about forgetting God's word. And so if you look back at your bulletin, and if you look at a few verses with me, I want to focus on just a few things to give us some good context, and then we'll make application from there. Number one, in the second chapter, the first verse, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give your fathers." If you stop there for just a moment, you will find out that this angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ himself. Certainly this is not the incarnate Lord in that sense, but this is Jesus Christ. This is God in human flesh, and he is speaking to the people. And the first few verses of this text is about his judgment upon them because they forgot what God had done in their lives, and he reminds them that he was the one that brought them up out of the land of Egypt. He reminds them of the great things he had done for them. And the people, thankfully, when they hear from the Lord and they realize their sin, they repent. And this first few verses of Judges chapter 2 is about God's, and it's really a summary of what happens in Judges. But after God calls them to repentance, and after they weep, that's why the place is called Bochim, and after they repent and turn back to the Lord, the text here tells us that the people return to the Lord. And get this, this is very important. Look what happens in verse 7. "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all this great work that the Lord had done." Verse 8, "Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, dies at age 110. And they buried him." But the passage does not end there. The most important part of this passage is verse 10. I will also tell you, not only is verse 10 the most important verse in this passage to me, not only is verse 10 the verse that drives the Maryland Bible Society, and quite frankly, drives me individually, this is the verse that is a warning to all believers. This very well may be one of the scariest verses in the entire scriptures, at least the Old Testament. So read again as I read it. Read along with me. Verse 10. "And all that generation were gathered to the fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." Now, when I first read that, folks, it was easy to want to be critical of Israel. How in the world could Israel forget all that the Lord had done? This is the Lord that blessed them beyond measure. This is the Lord that was faithful to his covenant always. This is the Lord that showed his works and his wonder and his ways and his wisdom. This is the Lord, the creator of the universe, that gave him his word. Even back in Joshua, that famous verse in Joshua 1:8 that says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written, and then thou shalt have good success, and then thou shalt be prosperous." That's just one book before this one. And yet we come to verse 10 of chapter 2, and everything changes. Joshua dies, and what's incredibly important to note, that before Joshua dies, it says, "The people serve the Lord." Even more so when Joshua dies, it says his generation that remained served the Lord. And yet the very next generation, it says that they did not know the Lord. And I think we cannot help but ask ourselves the question, how could they not know all this? If you have a Bible, and I know it's not on our bulletin, I want to go back to Deuteronomy, and I just want to read a few verses for you. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'll also remind you as we look at Deuteronomy 4, verse 19, of a pastor that went to speak at a church just like I'm doing today. He was a guest speaker. And when this pastor came, it was a church that had two services. And after he finished the first service, the pastor, who was a guest speaker, went up to one of the elders, and he asked the pastor, the elder, how did he think the first service went? Do you think it went well? Do you think I should change anything? The elder said to this visiting pastor, you read too much scripture. You used too much words from the Bible. You need to do away with some of that. People aren't ready to hear the scripture. And see, I think that is sad. See, I'm quite convinced that when we read the scripture, we know it's without error. When I speak, I'm a human. But God's word is perfect. And so whenever I speak, much of the time is spent reading scripture because God's word is powerful. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 55, 11, it said that God's word will never return void, but always accomplish its purposes. So Deuteronomy 4:19. And we're going to look at a few different texts together just to prove the point that I'm trying to make. Verse 19, and beware lest your eyes to heaven, lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon, I'm sorry, it's not 19, it's verse 9. Go back to verse 9. Verse 9 says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. Two chapters later, chapter 6, in one of the greatest Old Testament passages, Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, and follow with me just for a few verses. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, and that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess, or you do possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons, by keeping all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and the days may be long. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now hear this, folks. This is super important. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We get to Joshua chapter 2, verse 10. Joshua dies. The next generation does not know the Lord. And we answer the question, what happened? It was because God's people did not honor the teaching and the commandments of the Lord to teach their children not only the ways and the wonder of God, but they didn't teach their children the word of God. And see, folks, this is where it's okay when you're the guest speaker. You can say things that aren't always easy to hear. But quite frankly, soft words from the pulpit will always lead to hard hearts in the pews. And hard words from the pulpit will always lead to soft hearts in the pews. Let me say it another way. The Church of Jesus Christ today is very much in the same danger zone that Israel was so many years ago, in that we are failing to teach God's word to our kids. Now, this is not just for people that have kids. And not just folks that have grandkids, although that's the center of our attention in that passage. But there's this idea that how can the church, given this incredible treasure of God's word, God's word that's the only way we can change, it's God's love letter to us, it's the way that he uses his spirit to change us as believers and to show others the love of Christ so that they too may be saved. See, the center of everything God does is his word, his spirit, his son, the living word, the creator God, the Father himself who spoke his word and everything came into existence. See, the center of everything is the word of God for the glory of God. The reason the generation after Joshua died did not know the Lord is because they did not honor the principle and the commandment to teach the word of God. And when we don't teach the word of God, and to the message that's in your bulletin that says the message is about astonishment at his word, how can we be astonished at the word of God if we do not know the word of God? How can we be astonished at the word of God and not teach the word of God? See, this is an introduction that maybe one time I'll get a chance to come back and speak on this word astonishment. This is simply to introduce to you the heart of what we believe is the call to the church today, and that is a recovering of a passion for his word, both here in this country and abroad. And the rest of scripture, in my opinion, tells the story of this glorious word. And I want to give you just a few examples of people that did not fail to understand God's word and were astonished at his word. And we would start with Job. At the end of the book of Job, there's this great passage when Job, after 40 or 41 chapters, finally gets it. And do you know Job says, "I have heard about you, Lord, with my ears, but now I see you." And he repents in sackcloth and ashes. See, Job, when he finally understand who God's word, who God was, and us through his word understand who God was, Job was completely undone. Job was transformed when he became astonished at the word. Think of another example, Isaiah, in one of the great chapters of the Old Testament, Isaiah 6, and that great picture that Isaiah saw when he was in the throne room and he heard the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And it says that Isaiah saw Jesus. He saw Jesus just like the angel of the Lord in Judges 2. And it says that Isaiah, the word he uses, disintegrated. Our versions say undone. He was taken back. He was completely destroyed. He disintegrated when he understood who God was and he could see who God was. Paul, on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, the same situation. Throughout the Bible, when people saw the Lord, their lives were transformed radically. The word of God has the power to change us radically. But here is what's so important to parents and grandparents and those of us who are believers, all of us. God does not have grandchildren. God does not have grandchildren. What do I mean by that? He only has children. Our loved ones, our friends, those that we have chances to influence are not going to heaven biologically because we have a work relationship, because they're in our center of influence. They go to heaven because they've trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, have repented of their sins. They've given up everything. They've surrendered all, and they have followed Christ. Nobody goes along with that without that personal relationship. So Israel, they were God's chosen people, but simply because these people were in the line of Israel, they could not go to heaven on their own, simply because of ethnicity, simply because of bloodline, simply because their parents and ancestors knew the Lord. They had not appropriated faith for themselves because the teaching and the reverence for the word of God was not taught and lived. Now, I hope that along with me, you see the clear import in our lives. We don't want to forget the work of the Lord. We don't want to forget the ways of the Lord. We want to teach them to not only our children, but to our loved ones. We want to share God's word with all those we come in contact. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that one of the great prayers we could pray as a church family right here today is, Lord, continue to change us by the power of your word. May we be different because we have a love for the word. May we not be those that simply come here to hear Pastor Charles and let Pastor Charles do the study and let Pastor Charles do the work and let Pastor Charles present, although that is a godly thing and a high calling. May we be a church family that loves God's word. May we be a church family that has been radically changed by God's word. You know, I read recently that this generation does not need hipper pastors. We do not need hipper youth leaders. We do not need better presentations. We need a bigger God. That is the truth of God's word is what we need. A bigger God, the greatness of God found on the pages of Scripture. Let me read a quote that I think says a lot of what I'd like to share with you about this idea. It comes from a fellow by the name of John Piper. John Piper says this, if you can't see the sun, you will be astonished at a lampstand. If you've never seen the sun, you will be astonished at a lampstand. If you have never heard thunder and lightning, you will be astonished with fireworks. If you were never astonished at the greatness and majesty of God, get this, if you've never been astonished and impressed with the majesty of God through the Word of God, then you will be impressed with everything else the world has to offer. If we're not impressed at the Word and the greatness of God, we will be impressed with everything else the world has to offer. See, what Israel and what the church today is, our view of God is not nearly as high as it should be. Our view of ourselves is never nearly as bad as it should be. And because the gap between the holiness and the greatness of God and the sinfulness and depravity of man is not very big anymore because we've left the Word of God, then the only bridge between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man, Jesus Christ himself, he will never be valued the way that he should be valued. He will never be held up as who he is. See, God wants us to see he is so great and awesome through his word, and we are nowhere close. And then we see the beauty of Christ. So the message for this morning, if we could sum it up, is if you read Scripture and are not astonished at the awesomeness of God and his word, if you walk through life and see glimpses of him on a daily basis and see how God is working around and you're not astonished, if you don't see his incredible grace and mercy and patience and long-suffering and are not astonished, then we have to have a new view of God. It's possible that we have to have a first encounter with his Son and our Savior. Just let me leave you, and I know this makes perfect sense, and you think, well, this is your job, Mr. Moyer. You're the Bible Society guy. There is no life in Christ without a Bible. There is never a holy living without God's word. There is never a right understanding of who he really is without his word. Somebody once said we'd have the greatest dust storm in the history of the world if everybody opened their Bibles at once. See, God is calling his people, the church, to fall in love either for the first time or once again with his word. This is just an introduction, folks. There is so much more on this topic of Scripture and God's word. But let me finish with this. When it all comes down to the final analysis, what I'm really saying is, are we astonished with him? Are we really astonished at him? And my prayer for us is that we would all,
walk out of here by the power of God's word different people because we understand even a little bit more the greatness of his word. Join me in prayer as we close. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we have had together. It seems so brief, and there is no topic that we could study that would take longer than a study of your greatness and your word. We pray, Father, that your spirit would impart in us a fresh, new desire to study your word. And as you spoke through Isaiah, you said that the people you are looking for are those that are humble and contrite and tremble at your word. I pray, Father, we would tremble at your word, that you would do a work in our heart even now, that we would not be lulled into thinking that we're fine and that we're okay, but that we would examine our hearts and see where our love for you and your word really is. And Father, you would give us opportunities to be astonished daily at the great things in your word. May you be glorified and honored to use us as you bring about your purposes. Thank you for this church, their love for your word, their commitment to scripture. And we pray that you would bless them, but in the blessing, Father, people would glorify you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.